Burley.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Oh, my.
Oh, snap.
That's messed up.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Dave's not here.
Good morning and welcome into the Midweek Edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host, here driving the big, somewhat shabby bus. I mean, I'm looking around my studio and I'm looking at some of the equipment I have, and I think, how has this thing worked for this long? Anyway, welcome into the Wednesday edition of the podcast. It's good to have you along, and I'm really glad you're there, and I'm glad you are giving me feedback and spreading the word to your friends. I've been noticing lately that on social media, the Mark and Max Show social media pages, Facebook and Twitter, are getting shared quite a bit, and it seems like we're getting a decent number of new likes every day, which is kind of strange considering that right now the show really doesn't have a station home. Dave is doing an afternoon show on a station in Huntsville. I'm doing the podcast from the studios, and we just don't have a place to call home for right now as far as radio stations are concerned. It's something that's constantly in the works. We are actually in talks with a station. It's going a lot like watching molasses cure, but we are in talks with a station, and there has been interest expressed and excitement about potential, and hopefully we'll see something develop here in the near future, because Dave and I enjoy working together. In fact, I'm going to try sometime in the next week or so to get Dave on the phone, and maybe we can have some fun together, or maybe we can link studios. Ooh, that would be fun, because we've done that so many times before in the past, where I just haven't been able to make the drive to wherever, you know, to whatever station we were working on, and we would just link studios digitally and do the show that way. So we could do that. So maybe I can get Dave on the show one morning and we can just have some fun. How about that? Greetings to everybody on Facebook Live. Thanks for diving in on the live version of the show. I appreciate you being there. If you're listening in the future, where'd you get your time machine? I just want to know. You could make a fortune. Come on. The future is the podcast, by the way. If you're listening to this at some time in the future, thank you so much for being there. I appreciate you subscribing and being part of this craziness every day as you listen through your earbuds, wherever you may be. Speaking, he said as he kept smacking. Stop doing that, Mark. Speaking of subscription, you need to sign up for the daily newsletter. I send the show notes for every podcast out each day immediately after the live show. So within about 5 minutes of the live show, hopefully within about 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes of the live show, your inbox should ding and you will receive links to every story referenced in the Daily Perspective podcast. Plus, you'll receive some that didn't make it because of time constraints, because I stack up a lot of stuff every day hoping I can get to it all, and I never get to it all. For example, today I've got some stories about North Carolina's abortion law that bans abortions after 20 weeks. It's a good story. It's something we should talk about. Odds are we won't make it that far down the list today. There was a fire set in a conservative's dorm room at Tulane University in New Orleans. And there have been some students charged with setting that fire. It's a story that needs to be talked about. Time probably won't allow it to happen today. But we'll work as far down the list as we possibly can. And the ones that don't make it on the show, you get the sources to the article so you can read them yourself. And that's something I encourage you do. I want you to see the stories that I pull from. I want you to get accustomed to reading news stories, searching for news stories, finding sources for news stories, and not just from conservative websites. sometimes it's necessary to go to CNN. Sometimes it's necessary to go to places that you know aren't telling you the truth, because it's valuable to see their process and their thinking. And that's something I like doing here on this podcast from time to time, is going to those stories so that you can see what's going on. And sometimes, it's rare, but sometimes they actually put partisanship aside and report the truth. It's rare, but they do it. They seriously do it. And I like the fact that you're listening and that you are getting involved, and hopefully you are finding that searching for your own news, rather than letting the news networks, the cable news networks and the evening news on the networks, rather than letting them spoon feed you what they think the news is, digging for it yourself and discovering for yourself will actually show you truth a lot faster. I hope you're discovering that. Let's see. There was something I wanted to share with you, and let me see here. Let me look it up real quickly, okay? Because it's not an earth-shattering news story, but it is something that a listener actually posted on social media, and I want to give him some credit, because this is my buddy Joel. He's a longtime friend, fellow Disney freak, and yeah, I'm a Disney nerd. I confess it. I confess it openly. He lives in Hawaii, and he stumbled across something the other day that bugged him, and so he actually wrote back to a newspaper because of what they published, which is something we should all do. And here's what he said on his face. This is a Facebook post that he made 6 hours ago. By the way, he's 5 hours behind my time zone, which means right now it's 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. for Joel, so he's not listening right now, but he does listen on his walk to work every day, and he tells me he puts it on double speed so he can get through it faster. I'm not sure how to take that, Joel. Here's what he posted today. In a paper that's distributed free on Oahu, there was a letter to the editor. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I responded to the paper with the following and don't know how they'll respond to it. And this is what he wrote. I had to write in response to the March 27th letter, Buying into Socialism, by Georgia Metzler. One of the tactics of leftists is to co-opt the language to change the definition. Ms. Metzler refers to Norway and Denmark as socialist countries. They are not. Senator Sanders and Representative Ocasio-Cortez gush about the Scandinavian countries as democratic socialist countries. Danish Prime Minister Lars Lok Rasmussen in 2015 spoke at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and said, quote, I would like to make one thing clear. Denmark is far from a socialist planned economy. Denmark is a market economy. The Prime Minister made this perfectly clear. And yet, in an attempt to push a false narrative that socialism is good, leftists are continuing to call the country what it is not. Yes, they have very high taxes, like a 25% VAT tax that's similar to Hawaii's GET tax, GET, to tax products along the various stages of production and distribution. And if you want a car in Denmark, you pay 180% tax. But they were talking about dropping it to 100%. They don't go after the high-income earners to try to get high taxes out of them. The citizens, the regular folks, they pay 40 to 60% income tax in these countries, with a rather flat taxation system for their populations. For corporations, until the Trump tax cut, these countries had lower tax rates than the U.S. If you want a socialist country, don't put false labels on Scandinavia. Look at Venezuela. You will not find them high up on the happiness scale as they struggle to get food into the country and to just get basic toilet paper. Wow. He's absolutely right. This is a story that we have seen so many times. People talk about Norway and Denmark as being the happiest places in the world. There are some factors that you have to keep in mind when you make this judgment. One of those factors is that human nature thrives when it's succeeding. Generally speaking, people healthy, honest, hardworking people, mentally healthy as well, thrive on success, on achievement, on growth, dare I say, on prosperity. And those who have these things managed by government are not thriving. They're existing. Now, if you know someone who enjoys living a life where everything is provided to them and for them by someone else and is out of their control, then that person is not being honest with themselves on a lot of levels. And this is what we see when we see countries like Norway and Denmark using such a heavy hand in the lives of their citizenry. You see, Norway and Denmark don't have the same kind of foundation we do here in the United States. Our Constitution guarantees the protection of certain inalienable rights. These are rights that are not provided by government. We're born with these rights. Among them, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you read the Federalist Papers, the letters, the arguments going back and forth between the framers of the Constitution, before and after the process, you learn that that word happiness was a substitution, because originally they wanted to make it property. Because they understood, just like we do today who are honest with ourselves, that when you achieve your goals, that when you work hard, you push forward, and you make something of your life, you gain things. Now, your life does not revolve around those things. Those things represent your hard work and your success. And when a government prevents you from making these achievements and enjoying the rewards of your hard work and dedication, then they are short-circuiting part of your natural makeup. They are taking a place in your life they have no right to take. But in the European model of socialism, we see this happening all the time. The government owns the production process. The government owns the power companies, the water companies. The government owns manufacturing. The government manages all of these things. And one thing that we know from vast amounts of experience is that when politicians run things, they run them very, very badly. So there is failure at every level. Venezuela is an excellent, excellent example. Their oil industry is in a shambles now. They were once the place the entire world looked at for oil production. And now, since they turned to democratic socialism, they're no longer prosperous. You see, socialists lied to the people and told them that certain people were getting wealthy and certain people were not, and that was not fair. So they, the people, needed to take over and take all of this away from those people and spread it around. You remember Barack Obama spreading the wealth around when he talked to Joe the plumber? I think it's best to spread the wealth around. That is a democratic socialist talking point. Well, the people of Venezuela bought into it. They voted for it. Hence, democratic socialism. They voted for it. And what do they have now? Zoos are losing their populations because people are going to zoos to hunt. People are killing dogs and cats in the street. There are reports of people eating rats. There's video of people raiding garbage trucks. It is an insane situation. All brought on because socialism is a lie. And regardless of how you label it, it's still a lie. So when you see people like AOC and Bernie Sanders here in the United States lauding places like Norway and Denmark, just remember, it's all a lie. This is The Daily Perspective. I'm your sometimes humble host, Mark Congleton. Good to have you along. Let me encourage you to hook up with the show. Look for The Mark and Mac Show on social media. And look for The Daily Perspective on social media. The pages, actually, I got to be honest with you, the pages are almost identical. But at some point, there may be some divergence. So different things get posted in different places. Subscribe to both. Also on Twitter, under those same names. And there are also websites. Now, the websites are kind of a different animal. And that's because at the websites, we can post long-form articles. And we can post on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, you're just posting a thought, right? On Facebook, you're posting a thought and maybe a little follow-up. And there are still limitations on Facebook. You can only write so much. But on our websites, well, we can write for as much as we want. We can cite articles. We can do all kinds of things there. And it gives us some freedom to express ourselves from time to time when the need or the urge arises. So check out markandmacshow.com and markcongleton.com. And there are links there, by the way, both places to sign up for the newsletter for The Daily Perspective. And get plugged into that, as I said a little while ago. And thanks to those of you who have. You're getting every day. You're getting the show notes every day. And you know what? I like to think you're a step ahead of the guy next to you at work. That's the way I look at it. Let's see. Moving along, this situation in Chicago right now with Jesse Smollett is very interesting, to say the least. Here we have a case of a guy who all of the evidence says faked an attack, a racist attack, blaming Trump supporters. We're expected to believe that this guy was out in the dark of night, in the middle of the night, on the coldest day of the year. It's below zero. And he was attacked by two guys who threw bleach on him, put a noose around his neck, and told him this was MAGA country, M-A-G-A, Make America Great Again. Donald Trump, this was Trump country in essence. We're expected to believe that those things happened in Chicago, a deeply, deeply, deeply liberal place. Well, the police didn't believe it. Nobody believed it. But suddenly, everything's been dropped. He paid a $10,000 fine. He's done some community service. Excuse me. And now they're saying, hey, you know, that's good enough. Oddly enough, there's a coincidence. A coinkydinky. Turns out that somebody who worked with the Obamas is connected to this. And it's making some people mad. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. He's not somebody we trust, but he's upset. And Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson blasted the decision by state prosecutors to drop the charges against actor Jesse Smollett Tuesday after he was accused of perpetrating a fake hate crime against himself. The state attorney's office said it took into account the evidence and Smollett's, quote, volunteer service in the community and agreement to forfeit his bond to the city of Chicago in the amount of $10,000. A judge, get this, a judge sealed the records of the case. So, if anyone wanted to access the records of the case to get a clearer picture of what really happened, they can't. They can't dig in and actually get to the truth of the matter because a judge sealed the records. At a press conference, Emanuel and Johnson expressed outrage over the decision, with Johnson reiterating his call last month for Smollett to apologize for what he said, and that it was a selfish attempt to further his career by pretending to be the victim of racist Donald Trump supporters. Johnson said he found out about the state attorney's office dropping the case when the rest of the media did. Quote, do I think justice was served? No. What do I think justice is? I think this city is still owed an apology. I think that city is owed a whole lot more than that. I think the city needs to see this guy who everyone was completely convinced was guilty of committing a fraud and blaming conservatives for something that conservatives did not and do not do. Johnson says he supports the work of the detectives who investigated the case, and Rahm Emanuel said a grand jury indicted Emanuel on the 16 disorderly conduct charges with only a piece of the evidence. They had enough with just what they had to convict him, to indict him on 16 disorderly conduct charges. He also noted the 10 grand bond forfeited by Smollett didn't come close to reimbursing the city for the resources they employed to investigate his hoax claim. Smollett, who is black and gay, said for weeks that two men recognized him for his show Empire in the middle of the night on January 29th, yelled racist and homophobic slurs, beat him up, poured bleach on him, and placed a noose around his neck. Investigators later said Smollett paid two brothers he knew to perform the attack as part of an effort to get a pay raise on Empire, the show. Let's stop right there for a minute. Two men supposedly recognized him from his show Empire in the middle of the night on January 29th. Do you know any conservative Donald Trump supporting person who would waste their time watching the show Empire? If you do know any, can you count them? Do you have to have more than one hand to count them on? Do you have to have more than one finger? No. Rahm Emanuel was disgusted by what he framed as Smollett making a mockery of hard-won hate crime laws. He called the judge's decision to seal the case and not make the volume of evidence against the actor public a whitewash. Quote, where is the accountability in the system? You cannot have, because of a person's position, one set of rules apply to them and another set of rules apply to everybody else. Because of the judge's decision, none of that evidence will ever be made public. None of it. This is, without a doubt, a whitewash of justice and sends a clear message that if you're in a position of influence and power, you'll get treated one way. Other people will be treated another way. There is no accountability then in the system. It is wrong. Full stop. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't agree with Rahm Emanuel on a lot of stuff. He's done things and said things and worked for people I have no respect for. But he's absolutely right about this. And what's interesting about that is that Rahm Emanuel is one of those people who would point at conservatives and say they have an unfair advantage in the legal system because they have wealth. So they have a different legal system than the poor people do. And look what just happened. And it happened because of a woman named Tina Chen. And Tina Chen, that's a name you may recognize, you may not recognize. She's the attorney and former chief of staff to First Lady Michelle Obama. Well, she's garnered a little bit of scrutiny after messages traded with Cook County Attorney, State's Attorney Kim Fox about the hoax, they say in the article, alleged. I'll say it's a hoax. Linked to actor Jussie Smollett, emerged shortly before prosecutors dropped all the charges against him yesterday. Chen started practicing law back in 83 after she graduated from Northwestern University's Pritzker Law School of Law, currently leads the Chicago branch of Buckley LLC. In between, she worked in the Obama White House. First as the director of the Office of Public Engagement and later as the First Lady's Chief of Staff. Given her comprehensive legal background, her influence on the investigation into the alleged allegations of fraud against Jussie Smollett has raised eyebrows in Chicago. Public records obtained by the Chicago Sun-Times showed that Chen sent Fox an early morning text on February 1st saying she wanted to, she quote, wanted to give you a call on behalf of Jussie Smollett and family, who I know. They have concerns about the investigation. Gee, no kidding. 3 days earlier, Smollett had said two men attacked him on the way home. We just covered all that. Later that day, the Sun-Times reported that a relative of Smollett sent Fox a text, sparking a relationship that eventually led to Fox recusing herself from the investigation and prosecution. A lot of people following the case knew she did that. Fox also was shown to have emailed Chen. Quote, spoke to Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. I convinced him to reach out to the FBI to ask that they take over the investigation. He's reaching out now, and will get to me shortly. Prosecutors on Tuesday abruptly dropped all the charges against Smollett after the Empire actor agreed to do volunteer service and let the city keep his $10,000 bail. Chen's motivations for reaching out to Fox were unknown. Other links between the two were unclear. Chen didn't respond to multiple interview requests from Fox News, and her office declined requests for comment. Questions about any legal or ethical impropriety remain unresolved. The Illinois Ethical Code for Attorneys states, quote, a lawyer shall not engage in conduct that is prejudicial to the administration of justice. And clearly, that's exactly what happened in this case. So, Jussie Smollett, a member of the entertainment industry bubble, has been helped in a major way by political people on the left. And as a result, now, people all over will be framing Trump supporters for crimes that never happened. Because they know they can get away with it. After all, Jussie Smollett did. More as the Daily Perspective continues. You're listening to the Daily Perspective podcast. It's good to have you along. Thank you for listening. Mark Congleton here. You're there. I'm the one that knows. I'm the one that knows how this bus shifts properly, so probably a good thing I'm driving. It's a midweek edition of the podcast. We've been talking about different things so far. We're about halfway through the hour, and I'm trying to find something here. Just give me a minute here, and it's okay. That's not what I thought it was. Well, good, lovely. A lot of the things that are happening in today's news are, to the rational thinking person, like it's like watching an episode of The Twilight Zone. Like suddenly, everyone around you has stopped thinking rationally and reasonably, and they've stopped being honest with themselves. And suddenly, everybody's insane. They're willing to believe anything as long as it makes them happy. And you know what? Enough of our society is actually doing that it is concerning. For example, man-made climate change. The Green Deal, the Green New Deal, you know, the New York Twinkies proposed legislation is a leftist effort to capitalize on the fear-mongering that is man-made climate change. There are no credible studies which support it. There is not a majority of scientific opinion which endorses it, even though they claim there is. And as I like to say, if you want to see who really is going to benefit from all of this talk about man-made climate change, man-made, the influence that we have on the changing climate. Actually, rational, reasonable, scientifically oriented people don't deny the climate is changing. We just deny we have that much influence over it. But if you want to see who's benefiting the most from the fear-mongering, just look at the politicians. around the world, it's a big thing with politicians. At the UN, the International Club for Corrupt Politicians, the man-made climate change push is huge. Because fear makes people beg the government to protect them. And as a result, the government says, well, yes, we will. It's going to take more money. And if you're willing to help, we'll get it done. And so they raise taxes. They pass legislation which cripples business and makes everybody give things up, surrender freedoms, surrender their liberties in order to, quote, protect them, end quote. And then they really don't do anything because there's nothing to do. A good example is plastic straws. There's this big thing about plastic straws. In California, this is an exaggeration, but it's like, it's almost as bad as if you're caught with a plastic straw, they throw you in jail. You know, it's just nuts. If you go someplace and you order a soft drink, odds are today that it will not even have a top on it, much less a plastic straw. You'll be handed an open cup. Which, okay, that's fine, but a lot of people don't like drinking from open cups because the paper cups, the lip of the paper cup starts to break down while you're drinking, and you've got the taste of the paper cup and everything else, and people just don't like that. They'd rather have a straw. I've shared the story about going to a Disney park once years ago. I confessed at the top of the show I'm a Disney nerd, so get over it. I went to a Disney, but Jane and I were at a Disney park, and we were, actually it was the Animal Kingdom park in Orlando, and I had read at some point that Animal Kingdom had abandoned plastic straws because everything about that is about nature and the environment and such. So it was just natural for Animal Kingdom to dump plastic straws for the environment, so to speak, and they adopted paper straws. They were horrible. We went to, where was it? Flame Tree Barbecue. That's where it was. We wanted some barbecue. And by the way, if you're there, that's the place to eat, Flame Tree Barbecue. So we got our barbecue, got our drink, sat down at the table, pulled the paper wrappers off the straws, and they were these weird, bizarre, paper, big, thick, weird things that collapsed before we got to the bottom of our drinks. They were terrible. The other day, I watched a video on YouTube of some folks who went to Disneyland in California. They ordered soft drinks with their meals. Guess what? No straws. No tops. Open cups. And they were like, well, hey, it's for the environment. Guess what? The vast majority of the plastic waste in the oceans is coming from Asia. The vast majority. Do a little search. You'll find the videos of people who are working or playing in various places around the world, picking up trash and seeing, for instance, plastic bottles and things, and all of the text on them is in Chinese. And by the way, when you say that, your liberal friends will say, yeah, well, we have our own on this side of the planet. No, actually, most of it is coming from Asia. Well, the Green New Deal, you heard a lot about that yesterday, went up for a vote in the Senate, and it withered in the heat. Republicans delivered a decisive spanking to the liberal activist plan to reshape American society. And that's exactly what it is. Make no mistake, it's not about the environment. It's about socialism. It's about overtaking an economy in order to shape it in the image they want it to be. That's what it is. Not a single senator backed the freshman congresswoman's legislation, talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Nobody backed her. Nobody. It was defeated in a 57-0 filibuster. You're thinking, wait a minute, there's more than 57 people in the Senate. You're right. 43 Democrats refused to take a stand They all voted present. Republicans said the vote was a catastrophic blow to one of the hottest liberal policy ideas to hit Washington in years. The bill called for an upheaval in American energy, an overhaul of the construction sector, and history's largest expansion of the social safety net. And that's the bottom line. Government taking over big sections of our economy. Quote, the American people will see. They'll see which senators are so fully committed to radical left-wing ideology that they can't even vote no on self-inflicted economic ruin that would take a sledgehammer to America's middle class. That's what Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said. And he's absolutely right. They voted present because they refused to condemn a policy which would ruin the economy of this nation. The vote left Democrats scrambling for footing. They called Mr. McConnell's move to force a vote a sham. They complained they'd been ambushed, said they never considered Ms. Ocasio-Cortez's proposal to be a viable option. Well, if not, then why didn't you vote no? Even Senator Edward J. Markey, the Massachusetts Democrat who wrote the Green New Deal with Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, didn't vote for it. Of course not. He voted present because he wouldn't take a stand. Instead, he joined most fellow Democrats. Present. Markey said, to ordinary people, climate change isn't politics, it's life or death. The Green New Deal is not just a resolution, it's a revolution that's begun in this country. Really? If you believe the Green New Deal is life or death, you really need to turn your TV off, you need to shut down your social media, and go outside for a while. You need to go have dinner with friends and refuse to talk about the news and politics. You need to go play golf. You need to go swimming. You need to buy a motorcycle and tour the countryside. Get a convertible. Put down the top. Enjoy the fresh air. You need to get away from what's influencing your poor little mind. Because the bottom line is, this country is cleaner by far today than it ever has been. We can do as much as we want. If we implemented the Green New Deal, it wouldn't make any difference in the climate of our planet. If every last bit of it was enacted, it wouldn't make enough to measure significantly. Because countries like China and other nations don't care, and they continue polluting our planet. It isn't us. We're not the ones making the plastic islands in the oceans. We're not the ones polluting the air, the water. We're not the ones. We've cleaned things up so much. We've recognized the fact that we have to have a clean environment, and we've done the work. Can more be done? Yes. But the Green New Deal is not about cleaning up the planet. It's about a socialist takeover of our economy. Do the research. You'll see it can't be taken seriously. And Senator Mike Lee didn't take it seriously. In fact, he brought a picture to the floor of former President Ronald Reagan riding a velociraptor yesterday. During the procedural vote, he did that. He showed clips from movies. He just didn't take it seriously at all, because it's a joke. But it's a joke people don't understand as a joke. And your liberal friends are up in arms. They're crying because this is just a travesty. Travesty, they're not taking it seriously. They're condemning the planet to death. No, socialism is condemning the planet to death. And that's what the Green New Deal was all about. It was about a socialist takeover of our economy. It should be exposed. It should be ridiculed. It should be stamped out and never, ever considered again. More when the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to the Daily Perspective podcast. Mark Congleton here. And I say that because people, I'm watching. The reason I do that, I know if you're listening to the podcast in the future, I still want to know where you got your time machine. But if you're listening to the podcast on your earbuds at some time other than the Facebook Live show, you know this is a podcast. If you just dropped into the Facebook Live show because somebody said, hey, go listen to this, I need to tell you what you're listening to. And this is something that happens from time to time. I see, oh, people are popping in. They don't say anything. So hi to you. I know you're lurking, but that's what's happening. It's the Daily Perspective podcast. I'm your sometimes humble host, Mark Congleton. And the purpose of the podcast is just to take a look at what's happening today and to deliver a perspective, specifically my perspective, on the stories of the day. And you can disagree. You can agree. I don't care. This is my perspective. If you have a different perspective, let me know and or start your own podcast. So there we go. Oh my gosh. Where was TSA when we needed him? The passenger got a little too comfortable before his flight in Chicago. He was reportedly detained at Chicago O'Hare International Airport before boarding his flight, according to multiple witnesses. In a tweet of the incident, the unidentified man was filmed walking onto the tarmac. Sources have shared the man was attempting to board a flight departing from Chicago. The tweet, which was shared by an ORD airport insider, also reported that the passenger was allegedly detained at the terminal, Terminal 1. According to the tweet, the individual had been attempting to board a Delta flight, though Delta did not confirm. Gate C-10 services United flights. That alone, the fact that he got past TSA, which pilots have famously said stands for thousands standing around, that alone, the fact that he got by TSA and was out on the tarmac should be of enough concern. But the fact that he did so wearing no clothes is a whole other layer. This guy was naked on the tarmac. Naked. And no, I didn't mispronounce that word. Naked is a word. So is naked. Naked means without clothes. Naked means without clothes and up to something. This guy was naked. He was without clothes. And he was up to something. And thank goodness they caught him. But he's not the first passenger to attempt to board an aircraft in the nude this week. A traveler passing through Moscow's Domodedovo Airport reportedly claimed to be more aerodynamic while naked. And shortly after, he stripped off his clothes and he attempted to board a Ural Airlines flight to Crimea. Hello? TSA? Hello? I've had my say about TSA in the past. If you go through airport security today, take a close look. See what they're really doing. And then stop for a moment and think about what they're not doing. As I said, pilots refer to them as thousands standing around. I've gone through airport security. This happened one time a few years ago where I was there. I was like the first guy in line for my flight. It was an early, early morning flight. It's like a 6 a.m. flight. They tell you to be at the airport X number of hours before your flight because of all the things you have to go through. So I'm there. I'm at the airport for a long time. I'm sitting on that uncomfortable airport furniture waiting for the gate Not the gate, not where you get on the plane, but waiting for security to show up. TSA, waiting for TSA to show up because there's nobody there to check you, check your ID, and to inspect your carry-on and the like. There's nobody there to do that. So I have to go scrape around the airport looking for something that's open. McDonald's wasn't even open. You know how little you can actually get to before you pass through security. After you pass through security, there's usually some place where you can get a meal, but not that early. So here I am, no caffeine. I've been sitting on hard, uncomfortable airport furniture, waiting for TSA to show up. It gets close to time, so I'm standing at the front of the line, watching TSA casually stroll from off in the distance. No urgency whatsoever. No thought about being there at their post on time. No thought about the time it takes to prep what they have to prep in order to do what they have to do. Those of us who have a work ethic understand that, let's say your job starts at 6 a.m., you should be there at 5:45. You should be there early enough to overcome any problems which may arise before your job starts, because otherwise you can't work until you get those problems solved. And those upon which your work depends, as in the passengers on the plane, they can't get through to their flight until you solve your problems. So you solve your problems before the flight, before the time of your shift starting. Well, since these guys are government employees, that didn't matter. They strolled up the hallway slowly, chatting with each other, exchanging giggles about gossip, getting to where they were at the last possible moment, and they didn't start checking people until they overcame their problems, which was a couple of minutes after they should have been admitting people. So you show your ticket or your passport or your driver's license, some form of ID. You make your way through the switchbacks. You get to the conveyor belt and you put your stuff on. You take your laptop out. You take your shoes off. You remove your dentures and you know, I'm exaggerating, but the thing is you go through the process and you step up to the metal detector, and who is at the metal detector but one Barney Fife, who has no sense of humor. He's very sensitive. He's very serious. He's asking you about where you live. He wants to know your home address. He's looking at your driver's license to make sure you can quote him everything off of it. And he's very serious. There's no joking with him. There's no being polite with him. There's no smiling. There's no friendliness. And I got to tell you, he stares me in the eye like, I have a bullet and I'm not scared to use it. That is the TSA. That's who we're dealing with. Think of the DMV at the airport. That's the TSA. And it's ridiculous. We're actively proving today that privatization of the security process is actually more efficient, because you can actually buy into the security system. You can pay for programs now that actually allow you to get through security faster by walking up and putting your palm on a scanner or looking into something and letting it read your retina or things like that. You prove who you are, and boom, you hit a really short line and get through fast if you pay for it. So what's TSA worth? Not much. But I guess somebody's got to have government license to grope old ladies and children in line at the airport. Bless our hearts. If you're flying today, God love you. Have a good time. That's it for today. We'll see you tomorrow on the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye. Living in a perfect world.